welcome to that time we are waiting for. How is it now? Is it okay? So can I carry on? Can you hear me loud and clear? Praise be to God. God loves us. Did you know that? That's why he's always caring for you and caring for me, so that I can come and preach before you. That's the love of God. But before I start this morning, I just want to remind you of what has been happening throughout the week. There's been a lot of surprises, and some liked it, some didn't like it. To be precise, it was on Wednesday when from nowhere, Sir Alex Ferguson announced his retirement from the sport that he loves. It doesn't matter whether you're a Ghana or not, but Sir Alex Ferguson has brought joy and hope to some of those who were so much into football. He promised them hope and joy by bringing trophies to them. But from nowhere, he has said, enough is enough. So that joy was temporal. That joy was not going to last forever. Ferguson is now off the field. We can't see him anymore. But I believe this morning in this congregation, there is someone who is going to agree with me. He was one of the great managers in the world. There is no manager who has so much contributed to the game of football like Ferguson did. The amount of trophies he collected for Manchester United. That was his promise. He promised them when they picked him up. He promised them hope and joy of happiness. But that was temporary joy and hope. Church, this morning, Paul is challenging us to know that the everlasting hope and joy is found in Christ. Those are our trophies, not the trophies that Manchester United has been collecting through the reign of Ferguson. But we are going to collect these trophies through our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the theme that was preached at the Baptist Assembly this week. Like stars in the universe, we must be shining. Like stars in the universe, we must punch a hole. The hole that is being mentioned is, what is your character wherever you are? How do you behave? How do people see you? Are you punching a hole? Or you are using a blunt punch which doesn't punch? Paul, when he wrote this letter, you remember he was in jail. Scholars say it was AD 61 when he was in the Roman jail. He was writing to a town in Macedonia, in modern day Greece, if I'm right. If you've got geography teachers in here after the service, you can come and correct me. But this is what I believe. That is where that church was, the church at Philippi. Paul writes to them, he is in jail. In Paul's letter, I want to bring to you this morning this sermon in typical Baptist way of bringing sermons. Three errors I'll bring to you. Three errors I'll bring to you. One of them, to start with, is remember. The other one is recall. The other one is remind. Okay? In that sequence, I will start with remember. Paul is writing this letter, as I said earlier on. This was not a book format, it was a letter. You know, when you write a letter, you introduce yourself by putting your address, and then you address to whomever you are writing to in that letter. And then you start by your introduction, going further down. So Paul starts, according to this book of Philippians, there's chapter 1. Then there's chapter 2, which is the core of this book, according to me. Don't misquote me. There in chapter 2, he is imitating. He says, I want to imitate Christ. What about you this morning? Whom are you imitating? Are you imitating Christ? Or you are yourself? Paul is saying, I am reminding you. He's saying, remember what Christ went through. He was the Son of God, but he humbled himself. He into the form of a human being. His own creation. But he made himself into a human being. He humbled himself until death, on the cross. What a way to humble someone. Paul, he says, remember, I was a Jew. I was a Hebrew. I was a persecutor of Christians. But one day, on that day, you know, he was riding, whether he was on a chariot, on a donkey, on a horse, with authority from rulers to go and arrest and persecute Christians. He had authority in his hand, riding, thinking he's on top of the world, riding on that road, dead road in Damascus, on the way to Damascus. Jesus spoke to him on that day, and he never looked back. Jesus spoke to him in that day. He said, forget all the things of the past. I am he who you are persecuting. I pray for you. Nothing gets in your way because you have seen Christ. Paul is saying Christ is the joy giver. Nothing else can bring joy and happiness to you. Your hope is in Christ. So he is the only one you should look forward to. He is saying, remember, Christ humbled himself. And he's also asking us to humble ourselves today, irrespective of the status of what we have in society. You could be a headmaster. You could have a chain of degrees. You could have the best anything in the world today. Paul is saying, regard that as rubbish for the sake of Christ. And consider, this is someone who is in jail, who is writing this letter. But I think the jail that Paul was in is like jails in Britain. To me, if I compare jails from other countries, these jails in here are like a hotel, 5-star. Because inmates demand what they want to eat and want to watch on television. And they dress in their own clothes. Go to other countries. A prisoner has got no right to demand anything. Once you are in, your rights terminate. But Paul here has got the joy to write. Prison deprives you of your freedom. Here Paul is showing that when I am in Christ, I still have all my freedom. Even though he was in jail, he has that spirit to say, he wants to ask to remember what Christ has done for us. Christ has given us freedom. He picks up pen and paper. Those days it was papyrus, the paper they were using those days. He was scribing on there, trying to encourage that church at Philippi. In chapter 2, verse 14, I'm so much encouraged with that verse. In verse 14, we have the joy of Christ if we will do all things without murmuring and arguing, according to the NIV. The King James puts it this way: do all things without murmuring and complaining. How many times has your wife or your husband asked something, you to do something, and you start by complaining, but in the end you still do it? Why complain then when you are going to do it? Yes? So this is what Paul is saying. He said, do everything without complaining. This is imitating Christ. Christ didn't even complain. When he had the picture of the crucifixion in front of him, he could see what was going to happen. He never complained. All he said, he prayed to his father. You remember in that Garden of Gethsemane? If this was possible, Father, take this cup. Not my will, but your will. So, as Christians, we are asked to remember not to complain when doing everything. And we are also asked to consider others better than ourselves as being like Christ. Oh, Paul, what an encouragement you are giving to us. This letter was written to that church at Philippi, but it also includes us today. Because the Bible is the word of God. It teaches us today to follow what's in there. So we are reminded to be like Christ. Now to the second R, which is reminder. In verse 12, as we are looking forward to be like stars in the universe, let's glean at Paul's new goals. One, Paul wants to evaluate what he has done and what he has seen. Paul has come to a place where he is taking his personal inventory and evaluation of his own life. It's also a challenge to you this morning. You should evaluate your life. This inventory of how far have I come? How far am I still to go? This is what Paul is doing. He's evaluate his life as well. The first thing, Paul admits his mistakes in the past. He said, I used to persecute Christians. I had the authority to kill anyone who called on the name of Jesus. But not anymore. Not anymore. So, Paul, in his letter, he's saying this morning, London Baptist Church, punch a hole in the universe like stars remain shining. How are we going to punch these holes in this community where we live? How are we going to punch holes wherever we are? Evaluate your progress. Evaluate what you have done. Evaluate what the Lord has done for you. A lot of people do not like honest statements. That's a fact of life. To me, this sounds like poison. If you are doing a bad thing and someone tells you this is bad, accept it. Accept it. But people don't want to be told that is, oh, sorry, so is, I don't want to see him again. Really? What they have done wrong? They've told you a fact of life. You are making a mistake somewhere and you are told, but you don't like to hear it. Paul is spelling out his goals. In verse 10, he wants to know Christ more. He admits that he has not yet achieved what he's supposed to achieve. I haven't arrived yet, Paul writes, at the goal. He hasn't arrived yet at that point of perfection. Have you arrived? If you haven't arrived, listen to Paul. He has told you, he has said, remember what Christ went through. Though he was a son of God, he humbled himself until death, and death on the cross. Paul is not yet there, but he's getting closer. The more he knew Christ, the more he saw his shortcomings. If you have got Christ in your sight, you will see your mistakes and drop them. Like on that journey to Damascus, he dropped all his mistakes and his past errors. But there is always a problem. Some of you, you know, I went to Spurgeon's College. Charles Spurgeon was a good preacher. He said there's always a problem in humans' lives. There is always a problem in humans' lives. The instead of our littleness coming in between, there is always our bigness in front of us. Yes? Instead of our littleness, there is always our bigness in front of us. What was this Spurgeon saying here? Because of being, instead of humbling ourselves, we always have something to say, well, I am sorry and so. This cannot happen to me. I cannot mix with these low-class people. Really? Are there any low-class people in society? Are there any low people in society where you live or in your at your work or in your class? All people are the same in the eyes of God. Amen? So, Paul is saying, my brothers, first of all, admit your mistakes and then move on. In verse 12, he carries on to say the goals hasn't been reached yet. We are still work in progress. I was watching one day a preacher on the television. He said to me, necessarily he was preaching on television. He said, listen to his statement. That shocked me. He is perfect and he has no sin. I froze when he said that. No one is perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we have all sinned. This guy was preaching. Well, his sermon was good as I was listening to it. But when he got that statement, he shocked me. I am perfect. I have got no sin. Doesn't mean to say if you're a preacher, you are perfect. You've got no sin. But Paul is saying, he also writes in Romans 3 verse 23 about sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God and we've all sinned. He is reminding us that, guys, we've all sinned. So we need to see Christ the more, not only a little bit. We want to see Christ more to be like Christ. Paul is an athlete. He's desiring to win that race. The race that he's started is not yet there on the touchline until he wins. I remember when I left college, I thought, well, I've got my degree. All is done. Oh boy. Little did I know I was cheating myself. As I was approaching that touchline, when the principal said, graduation day is such a day, I felt a sigh of relief coming in me, forgetting about all those assignments, thinking, well, it's done and finished. 2 days before the last days of college, we were told, you still have got another 3 years to soldier on. Though you are not coming to college, but you are doing some more work for the next 3 years. So I said, oh God, so I've been I'm being trained for 6 years. So when I left college, I said, well, 3 years of my assignments again, though there's a little bit of liberty. But I thought I'd been trained as a minister. I was wrong. There's still loads of things to learn. When I came out, there is comparison between new heaven where I was and here. There is still a lot to learn. It's work in progress. So I don't want any bigness to come in between me and the cross of Christ. Let there be littleness in between me, because I am work in progress. I am still learning. So when I make mistakes, bear with me. It's work in progress. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? Paul is saying, consider your past achievements as failures. Just look forward to your true relationships with Christ. Many people live as enemies of the cross. And I personally want to extend this. I will say such people are hypocrites because they're not following Christ. If you are imitating Christ, you will do what Christ was doing. Why do I have to use such harsh words? One, there are some people, as even though they are believers, they cannot mix with other people. Even in the congregation here, there are people who are sitting on this side and on this side. They have never spoken to each other for the last 15 years. I'm not saying in this church, but in churches, it happens. And if you come and sit in their position, if they usually sit, you are asking for trouble. Those are Christians. Second thing, they cannot reconcile with one another. And they cannot forgive one another. What are we taught in the scriptures? Paul talks of reconciliation in the book of Corinthians. He also talks about forgiveness. The writer of Matthew writes about forgiveness. And Jesus even gives a formula and for how long and the quantity of you to forgive someone. It's all there. So there is no excuse. Facts are stubborn. That's why people don't like them. But they want to make you perfect as Jesus. If you follow these facts that the Bible tells us, you will be perfect. Though you are still a work in progress, you will be on the right track. Paul has said all in this text. Paul also says he sets his priorities right. He sets his priorities right. I've got this illustration to tell you. Most of you know that I've been struggling with this book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. You see now, I'm still struggling. But by the time I say, well, I'm perfecting on this book, when I read the scriptures, there are some other words which come up which still confuse me and struggle to call them. But that shouldn't be in my way when it comes to Christ. That shouldn't stand in my way. I could have said, well, God, I cannot go to become a minister when I struggle with these words in scripture. I put that aside. I thought that was rubbish to me. As painful as it might be, things of the past must be forgotten. We are now new in Christ. You are a new person. So why are you looking at the past? If Paul was looking at his past, he could be thinking of his chariot on that journey to Damascus, and he still wants to do it. But he says, that's rubbish. I had authority from the authorities. That's rubbish. I was a persecutor of believers. That's rubbish. I am longing to know more about Christ. Paul forgot all his wealth. He forgot all his religious credentials. He forgot everything for the sake of Christ. He also forgot his wickedness. He forgot that he was a chief persecutor. He threw that away. He forgot his way as well. And he was only seeking the way of Christ. We too, we are challenged to seek the way of Christ. That way, this church will shine like a star in the universe. There is a story that I want to tell you before I go to my last R. Three guys had finished their college work like I did. On that day, you need to celebrate because it's all done. They celebrated until midnight and they forgot to go home. When they got home late. And each had a wife. The wives had the right to ask where you have been. The others said to their wives, well, we socialized with other students until we realized it was running late. But the third gentleman had trouble with his wife. He said, can you explain where you have been? They say this wife, number three, went historical. What do I mean by saying she went historical? She had to narrate all the past events the husband has been doing. He said, this day you did this, this day you did this, this day you did this. But the right word was supposed to be hysterical. But she went historical because she wanted to put the man in his right frame. But this morning, Paul is saying, don't go historical. It's all past. Trash. Throw it away. That brings me to the last R. Now Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, recall, you are not citizens of this earth. Your home is where? Heaven bound. But you need a passport. John and Paula, before they left Australia, they knew their passport must have been in their baggage. Am I right, John and Paula? With that passport, they were not going to land in this country. So the same applies to us Christians. We need a passport to go to heaven. Our passport is that joy and hope in Christ. Paul is reminding them here. But are we going to be like those who live like enemies of the cross? The answer is no. Because such people who live as enemies of the cross are destined for destruction. But to avoid this destruction, Paul pits each one of us like we are in a race. We are competing. Don't give up till you get to the touchline. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I had the zeal of persecuting Christians. Now I've got that zeal turned around for the sake of Christ. I want to know more about Christ. This is punching holes in the universe like a shining star, which is being mentioned in the book of Philippians. We should be like onward soldiers marching as to war. This is the time to stand up for Jesus. This is the time to lift our royal banner. We are to move from victory to victory until every foe is vanquished. Amen. The definition is given by Paul in Philippians 3 verse 14. This is the mark that puts a hole in the universe for the people of God. That is the purpose. Nothing less, nothing more. This is Paul's goal. What is the church's goal today? Paul says, one, the mark has been unveiled for us. Philippians 3 verse 8. The mark is to win. Philippians 3 verse 9. He has found him. Philippians 3 verse 10. To be known. Philippians 3 verse 21. We are to set our eyes on that finishing line. That is why Paul says, imitate me. Church, imitate Paul this morning. We are going to be like stars in the universe. The prize is mentioned in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 and 8. There is a crown waiting for you when you finish that race. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, the writer says. Are you going to finish that race? Here is my advice. Paul says, evaluate yourself, establish your priorities, and define your purpose. Are you going to be like a star in the universe? Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, you are our Father.